There we go. Okay, so we're looking at our Christmas gift list, and it's nearly Christmas, and we've only done one out of the four. We talked about the gift of hope, didn't we? And that hope that came to Naomi, despite what was going on in her life, that through her family line would actually come the Saviour of the world. This morning, we're going to be thinking about the gift of peace, not surprisingly, as that's been our theme through them this morning. This evening, and at the candlelit service, we'll be thinking about the gift of joy, and I do encourage you to come at 4:30, and as you go home, just be in prayer for that service, that God will use it to touch hearts and lives. And then on Christmas morning, we'll think about the gift of love and how Jesus is that gift of love to us. So we're thinking about Jesus brings the gift of peace. Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. Peace to those on whom his favour rests. Naomi is going to come and to read from Luke chapter 2. Thanks.
Hello. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place whilst Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Excuse me. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Thank you. Shalom. Shalom. That's the Hebrew for peace. And I wish you God's peace this morning. But what on earth is peace? Here we are 3 days before Christmas, and my guess is that many people feel the pace more than the peace. Just the sheer pace of life. The E is missing out of peace, isn't it? We're frantically rushing around. Perhaps you've had one of those days, or one of those weeks, or even one of those years. Perhaps you feel, you know, life couldn't get much tougher, and the last thing you feel is at peace. And actually, in my experience, and I meet a lot of people a lot of the time and talk to a lot of people, is that most people are pretty exhausted, but rarely at peace. And yet this is one of the gifts, isn't it, that we are promised that Jesus brings into the world through his incarnation. 700 years before Jesus came, that the prophet Isaiah wrote, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. So prophets foretold it, and as Naomi read, the angels announced it. And even when Jesus goes to the cross, before he returns to heaven, Jesus says to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." In other words, the kind of peace I'm offering, says Jesus to us, is a peace that can only come through me. It doesn't come through antidepressants. You can't escape this world through alcohol or drugs. This is a supernatural peace that Jesus offers to us. And our world often talks of peace, doesn't it? When asked what people want, they say peace. When I was young, there used to be those beauty contests we were allowed to watch at that point, but they all became a bit, you know, nonplus. But these girls, they would come on and that they'd be asked, so what's your great hope? And they'd go, "World peace, world peace." They always wanted world peace. And yet it seems so elusive, doesn't it? And history records how many times we have broken what is a very fragile peace. Do you know, there are 790 verses on peace in the Bible. So we're just going to work now. We won't work through them all. But, you know, actually they break down, in my thinking, to three categories. We said that E's missing, didn't we, in our peace, so that we're left with pace. Well, I'm going to bring you three E's this morning. I know we're usually trying to avoid E's. in what we eat, but these are three E's that you need for healthy living if you're going to be at peace. And the first of these is eternal peace, spiritual peace with God. I don't know if you've ever had a serious falling out with a loved one, a husband, a wife, a boyfriend, a girlfriend. But actually, at the time, nothing else really seems to matter until you've resolved the issue. But there's an even more important relationship than that. And it is our relationship with our Creator God that is broken. And we are never going to know peace in our lives until that relationship with God is restored and lived out every day. God sent Jesus Christ into the world that first Christmas to reconcile that broken relationship with him. But you know, we so often think we know better than God. I'm going to live my way. I'm going to make up my own rules. I've set my own heart on this or that. I'm going to make my own boundaries. I'm going to follow my own agenda. I'm going to be the Lord and Master of my life. I'm going to do things my way. And what happens? We lack peace. This is exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve thought they knew better than to live God's way. As a result, their relationship with God was broken and they were hiding from God. And their peace was shattered. And people have been doing it ever since. And we're prone to do it too, aren't we? Running and hiding from God and lacking his peace. Not living day to day in our relationship with God and lacking his peace. God wants us to be connected to him. He wants us to have an ongoing relationship with him through the day. And so he sent Jesus to reconnect us to him through the cross. Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, that's through believing in what Jesus did, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many world religions are about people trying to make their peace with God, doing their bit, bringing their offering to God, trying to do acts of sacrifice, hoping you've done enough to earn God's favour. But the Bible tells us that God took the initiative to bring us peace. That's what was announced, wasn't it, to these shepherds, that God was bringing a saviour into the world to be their peace. Do you have that eternal peace with God this morning? Do you accept what Jesus came to do for you? Have you invited him in to be your Lord and Saviour, to deal with your sin? So the first E we need to have is an eternal peace with God. The second E that follows on from it is an emotional peace, a kind of peaceful feeling on the inside that hopefully we at least feel some of the time. And this is a peace that comes from God through peace with God. And Colossians 3 verse 5 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace. With God, there is peace for every one of our problems that threaten our sense of peace. There is comfort for the brokenhearted. There is, with God, guidance for a confused heart, not knowing which way to go. There is confidence for a worried heart. There is perspective for a troubled heart. And Jesus really wants you to have that internal calm. He wants to set your hearts at rest. The first piece is an eternal peace. The second piece is this emotional peace. And the third piece is an external peace. And that means peace with others. It's how we expand and develop a relational peace with everyone else that we come into contact with. I don't know if you've noticed, but actually the further that you and I move away from God, when we're not living close to him, doesn't it then seem to be the case that our other relationships seem to suffer? That our relationships with other people start to go awry too? And if you find yourself increasingly unhappy with family members or work colleagues or even people in the church, ask yourself this before you start pointing the finger at other people: how is my relationship with God just now? Am I right with him? Before I start looking at the speck in my brother's eye, what about the huge plank in my own eye? If you have a troubled relationship or a troubled marriage that needs strengthening, where does the solution lie? Yes, it lies in conversation and talking with that person. And hopefully you have in common that belief in Christ. Otherwise, it's difficult, isn't it? But it fundamentally lies actually in my relationship with God. Because when I love God as I ought, then I'll start to love other people as I ought. Sometimes I think I'm expecting huge things from other people, and when they don't deliver, they disappoint me and they let me down. But I need to understand that actually, fundamentally, like me, they are broken, sinful people who can only be what they need to be through that relationship with God. And then how can we have unity when there is so much diversity amongst us? Because we are very different people from very different backgrounds, and humanly we have very different perspectives on lots of things. Well, it says this in Ephesians 2. Remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth, that's the non-Jews, and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, the Jews, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. There was this dividing line, wasn't there, between the Jew and the Gentile. They had no dealings with each other. But, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away, you have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. Boris Johnson says he wants to make of one nation, doesn't he? One nation conservatism. Don't know how well he's going to get on doing that, but I'm sure we're going to find out. But there is actually only one way that people can be brought together and true unity can reign, and that is through Jesus Christ and a relationship with him. He destroys the natural barriers between us. Imagine, I guess you're all starting to think about your coffee. Now imagine I'm down in the Loaves and Fishes, and this has happened, and I have a cup of coffee filled to the brim, as it always beautifully is, by Margaret and the others. And unfortunately, as someone comes along, someone bumps into the back of me, and my coffee spills all down my clean trousers. That's terrible, isn't it? Now, if I'm full of self, I'm probably going to give that person a little piece of my mind. Be careful. Watch what you're doing. And we jump, don't we? We apportion blame. But if I'm filled with Christ, if I have a great sense of my own forgiveness that he has given me, then hopefully I will in turn be more forgiving. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to let this get in the way of our friendship. Don't test me out afterwards. I can't make any promises. So here's the chain. I need to have eternal peace, and I can only have that through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That way, hopefully, I'll start to feel that emotional peace within my heart, knowing my sins are forgiven, knowing he's got my life and everything under his control. And that being the case, I will then have a better attitude to everyone else that I come into contact with, that we might promote peace together between ourselves. So finally this morning, what is the way to peace? How do we get this peace? Do you want to know this peace? Well, a few things need to take place. Firstly, there needs to be a moment of clarity. We all need that life-changing encounter with God. For Joseph, for Mary, for the shepherds, for the kings in the Christmas story, there were moments of clarity in their thinking. They came to understand the credentials of this baby boy, born to be king, born to be the Saviour, the Christ. We need that moment of clarity of who it is we're dealing with at this Christmas. It's the same kind of moment of clarity. We're talking about what next message church is going to be. That Paul had on the road to Damascus. He had a moment of clarity where the lights came on and he understood that he was actually persecuting the Son of God and God's followers. And his whole attitude towards everybody else changed, didn't it, with that moment of clarity. As he came to his own personal peace with God, he then started to have peace with everybody else. They were shocked. This was the man who was persecuting now, them now wanting to be friends with them. Have we reached that moment of clarity? Paul goes on to write in Ephesians 1:18, I pray. And this is what we need to pray for this afternoon as people come to the candlelight service. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his inglorious inheritance in his holy people. That's what people need to have, a moment of clarity about who Jesus is. And secondly, they need, and we need, a dose of humility. A dose of humility. To realise that in ourselves and in our normal lives, there is no peace outside of Christ. And we cannot earn God peace with God in our own merits. Humility requires me to swallow the truth that the biggest cause of the lack of peace is my own self and my own sin and my own selfish tendencies. And it's not my wife's fault, she'll be pleased to know. And it's not my boss's fault. Well, I only have one proper boss, although there's a few people around. And it's not my children's fault. Yes, I know that they're failing and sometimes they contribute to my feelings of unhappiness. But ultimately, my peace comes from my relationship with God. Whatever else is going on. Do you feel this Christmas that you lack peace? Are you just about hanging in there? Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, carry on with your relationship with God, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And what happens? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's relationship with him again, isn't it? That's where it is. So actually this peace is not dependent on what our circumstances are, good or bad. Our peace is about our relationship with God. This is how to be a person of peace when everything else and everyone else is stressed around you. Jesus says, Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And that is peace, isn't it? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me says Jesus. I'm the source of peace. Peace is not found in a program or a schedule. It's found in the person of Jesus. Come, connect with me. Yeah, I know you've got to work, but let's plough this field together. You and me, like a yoke of oxen. Let's do this together, and we can make light work of what is going on.